The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hollywood midterm madness. SNL skewers Fox News over caravan coverage. Oprah hits the stump in Georgia, and it's Obama versus Trump on the stump again. Plus, key races in Hollywood is watching. All this and more on Meet the Hollywood Press for November 4th, 2018. I'm Alina Vision, and now your host of Meet the Hollywood Press, Joseph Capsch.
Well, happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to a new episode. I almost, like, didn't do my usual, like, happy Sunday.
I know, because it's Sunday Funday.
I know. I lost my Sunday Funday. Welcome back, Alina.
I'm so happy to be back.
I know, we took a week off.
Yeah, but this is going to be a good one.
This is going to be a good one.
It's going to be a real good one.
We couldn't wait for this one.
Yes.
We're going to dig in on all of the everything and anything politics and Hollywood crossover, and obviously because the midterms are Tuesday. So I want to introduce my guest back for, I think, a fourth or fifth.
It's almost like the fifth.
Five Timers Club.
She needs a jacket.
Merle Ginsburg joins the Meet the Hollywood Press Five Timers Club.
On the last weekend.
Yes. Welcome back, Merle Ginsburg. And Jordan Burchett. This is the fourth.
I think it's, you know.
So almost.
We'll get you a jacket.
You'll get the smoking jacket on the next trip. Welcome back to Meet the Hollywood Press.
Thanks.
Are we ready to talk politics and everything Trump and Obama?
I haven't stopped doing that since the last election.
Exactly.
The thing I say is the beauty of this, when I was like thinking, like, who do I want to come on, that when you're friends with journalists also on social media, their political minds, I get to see their posts constantly, so I'm like, oh, I gotta have, like, Merle and Joe. Like, I was going through, like, the phone, and I'm like, who would be good, because they're very versed, and you're very versed.
Right.
We couldn't wait to unload.
Could not. Well, we've been waiting for this for a while.
We are. Well, then let's start with a little bit lighter fun. I say lighter. SNL last night, new episode again. In the cold open, they skewered Fox News' coverage of the migrant caravan. I want to run a clip really fast, and then we'll come back on the other end. Oh, okay. So, in the open, basically, obviously, you guys keep an eye. We all keep an eye on Fox News. And they are really beating, as Trump is, the migrant caravan.
The invasion!
The invasion. Yeah. Yes.
Of women and children.
Women,
you know?
And children. Yeah. Barefooted women and children.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. So, last night in the cold open, I'm saying Kristen Wiig, not Kristen Wiig. Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
Kate McKinnon took on Laura Ingraham. And Cicely
Strong.
Thank you. Oh, my God. What's wrong with me? I didn't take...
Too many politics. No,
yes. No ginkgo biloba today. But we are woke. We're woke.
We're woke.
Super woke.
Took on Judge Jean Pirro. Are we ready to run that? Let's do it. Let's run the clip.
Just whatever you're talking about.
Now, Judge Pirro, what have you heard about the caravan?
I haven't just heard about it. I've seen it with my own eyes. Take a look at this footage of the caravan from earlier today.
My God, and that is real footage of the caravan?
It has to be real. I found it on TruthEagle.com.
And who is in this caravan?
Everyone you've ever seen in your nightmares, Laura. It's got Guatemalans, Mexicans, ISIS, the Menendez brothers, the 1990 Detroit Pistons, Thanos, and several Babadooks.
And President said there are Middle Eastern people as well?
No question, Laura. This caravan's got hella Aladdins. They took the very common direct flight from Iran to Guatemala. They claimed their elephants as service animals and then rode them straight into Mexico. It makes almost too much sense.
Coming back in from that. Oh my God, Merle, thoughts when you watch?
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Stay.
I think that, like, The Player really wasn't a parody of Hollywood, and, like, The Devil Wears Prada wasn't a parody of fashion. This is not a parody.
Yeah.
This is...
Yeah.
It's real. I saw it with my own eyes. Those women are no more hyperbolic than the people they're playing.
Yeah. Jordan, what are your thoughts when you watch SNL?
I mean, I actually try to expose myself to Fox News, and... Yeah, I was watching Jeanine Pirro earlier this week. She's, you know, she's frothing,
yeah.
You know. And they've, you know, they get handed a simplified version of the news to be reported from their corporate masters, I assume. I mean, I don't,
yeah.
I can't speak firsthand of the inner workings of Fox News. But, I mean, it's like you get the story handed to you,
yes.
But road down that story that ignores...
The other piece.
The trees surrounding that path. And
yes.
So that's what, I mean, you can tell because they all say, they don't just say the same stuff in spirit.
Yes.
They say the same exact
words.
They use the same language because it's, I assume, pre-printed for them on that talking points list every morning.
Yes.
But more and more is coming out about what Roger Ailes handed down to these people and the sort of script he wrote them, which is rile up the crazies. Word for word.
Yes.
Drama, hate, that's what's going to get the viewers.
The viewers.
And it's a very simple message.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
keep it very, very
terror,
simple.
Fear.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's where they win,
absolutely.
Is that they drill it down
like
for year after year. Exactly.
Well,
it's not hard.
You remember in 2004 when they, even those in the Democratic Party thought Kerry was kind of a farty candidate. Because
yeah,
I'm
one of them.
But it was for reasons that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was too nuanced. He explained things too much.
He was too smart.
He used four-syllable words.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And Al Gore the same.
We're there, you know, what, 14 years later?
If Bill Clinton wasn't from the Midwest South, he never would have made it. He would have been way too smart.
Right. And he talks a lot.
That's true.
He talks a lot.
He keeps the accent.
Yes.
That's a really
very
good point,
smart.
Though, because he
mm-hmm.
distilled things.
He did.
When he explained them in ways that Fox does, but just with a different angle, you know.
Mm-hmm. I, like you, also, I do watch, and you're going to cringe, but I watch
do
the
too.
Most of it. I watch Fox News, too, because
to
I feel
the
like...
Two of you.
We have
I could
to.
Not
no,
do
but
it.
I would feel like, it's like what us journalists, even internally, will argue about the echo chamber.
Yeah.
I feel like it makes me better at arguing
yeah.
if I am looking at all sides. Like, and I'm granted screaming at the TV and just going, oh my, like, because it's like what you just said. It's like the selective reporting,
yeah.
the selective
right.
piece. And you're like, okay, yeah, but you forgot the part about that, you know, but you forgot about this, or you forgot about that.
Or you're not even reporting on
not
this,
reporting
which is
on
a major
that.
Story.
The good thing,
right.
though, about the last 2 years is how hard the other media is coming down on them writing about their lies, taking on everything they say, and going right back at them the way Trump goes back after everything.
Well, I just think even SNL didn't even have a hard time. Like, it was like, when you got to... this is what I'm thinking. What is Lachlan Murdoch thinking when he's... because, you know, granted, you can take it like, oh, SNL parodies everybody, but there's a certain level of, like, when SNL does, say, like, a CNN or an MSNBC skit...
And they do.
And they do, obviously. But it's like, they're made... you know, it's like Wolf Blitzer and I haven't shaved my beard and... but it's not like, actually... shining a light on that they play fast and loose with facts.
No. Mm-hmm.
And I gotta think that if you're running a news network like that and you're looking at that and you're going, this is actually like, this is like not far from
money.
Yeah, it's like,
money.
Why would you change what you're doing if you're Fox News if it's getting you viewers? I mean, they're still the top cable news network.
What's really interesting, speaking of entertainment news, is that Steve Levitan, the creator of Modern Family and many other hit shows, which is in its last season, so they don't have to think about that. And, of course, Disney's taking over Fox. But he's saying, I will never work for Fox in film or television if Lachlan Murdoch doesn't make some changes here. And there is a lot of major talent in Hollywood following suit.
Yeah.
They're cracking the whip.
Well, the interesting thing is after Megyn Kelly's disaster with NBC happened this last week, Lachlan Murdoch was at a conference like just last week and actually was taking pot shots about it. Oh, the NBC News thing ruined her or this. It's just sort of like, I don't even, like the pot calling the kettle sort of black almost to me. It's just
the
like.
Pot calling the kettle blackface?
No.
Excellent.
See what you did there? Clip. Okay, so moving on. SNL, let's just put it this way. I would want to be an SNL writer right now because their jobs are pretty easy.
I'd want to be a John Oliver writer, a Bill Maher.
There's so much material.
Right,
I mean, all of late night, everything, there's such a resurgence in watching all of that because of Trump and what we have to endure on a daily, weekly basis.
The best thing is the John Oliver promo right now, which is... John Oliver, watch me because I'm the only comedian talking about the news.
Okay, so moving on next. Okay, so we're moving on to this midterms. Okay, so Obama returned to the stump, and I almost feel like it's a redo playing out like 2016 where Obama and Trump, you know, I think Obama, like, really secretly would love to run against Trump himself. You know,
and he's one of the few people who could do it.
What is your feeling? I'm just going to throw this out there. So, in talking like strict like political messaging right now, how do you think their two closing arguments? What's your feeling like where Trump's presenting versus what Obama's presenting? Like, what's your initial thoughts on all of it?
Bullshit versus realism? I mean, not only that, it's not just that, which it clearly is. It's civility. Interesting way of connecting and communicating with an audience. Passion about rising up, enthusiasm and caring and connecting. And then it's clobbering, fear, inarticulation, ridiculous lies. It's 360.
Yeah. Push up.
I mean, it's things that Trump supporters don't care about. None of those things. So I don't know how much it matters. Again, it's just the way we're divided. I mean, it's been driving me apeshit for 2 years now. I mean, as soon as Trump took office, suddenly... he invented the economy.
Yeah.
Right.
We didn't have one. We didn't have an economy prior to that.
I know.
And everything that
it was the barter system.
Right, right. Remember when we used to trade shells for cars? And the idea that this economy is, I mean, that, and it's been made, the point's been made that they're not actually trading nearly as much on that, which could be at least interpreted as, if you wanted to, an accomplishment. Like, the economy hasn't cratered yet.
Yeah.
It will.
Yes.
It will. It hasn't cratered yet. So trade on what you've done as a party, not on the caravan, the invasion. That's what they're focusing their, training their attentions on, as opposed to what is still a dubious accomplishment, but is an accomplishment.
To Trump's credit, he was honest about that fact. So when the jobs report came out, he was at a rally that night, and he was like, They want me to talk about the economy, but, you know, the economy is not, it's the greatest economy in the history of, you know,
ever.
But then he said, but it's not interesting, but we got to talk about other things. He is, like, if the Democrats sort of don't have a good showing, you know, because I really don't, I don't believe polls anymore. I don't, I just, I, yeah. I will be glued to Tuesday and we will see what happens. But if he does pull it off where he doesn't get shellacked and somehow they hold on to both chambers, then he will have been one of the greatest political masterminds because he played it right.
Sure.
He motivated it. Because also,
he's playing it right, but he doesn't have 51% of the
country. Right. Not even
he's
close.
Playing it right to the crazies, and I don't believe the crazies are more than 30% of the country.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but here's the thing. This is, and I feel like this is being missed in a lot of the cable news coverage right now. It's a turnout election. Like, it's not... Yeah. I feel like they obviously have to get ratings, and they want to build up suspense, and it's kind of like, who can motivate their base to get out? Right now, there's, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's no one in the country that you're gonna, that's like a Trump supporter that you're gonna pull over to this side, and there's no one that hates right. Trump that you're gonna pull
and
to Trump.
There's 50% of the population who didn't vote in 2016.
Right.
Those are the people who have, and they're young and they're old.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know that 30% is gonna vote at a rate of 100% of theirs. So if
yes.
the remainder,
yes.
if right. the remaining
yes,
70%
yes.
only turn out 40% of their, then, you know.
Well, that's what. So this stat on, I believe it was either, it was Fareed Zakaria this morning on CNN. So I guess the age demo. So anyone like 45 to 65, it's 50-50% Democrat and Republican. The age group that is something like 18 up through 40, it's something like 60-something percent Democratic.
Oh, yeah.
So that is so... Like, the Republican Party is, yes, an endangered species. Like, 38% of that age demographic is Republican.
I don't know how much that's going to matter if the tactics they're taking... Or the tactics they're implementing achieve their end, which is to solidify power. I mean, if you have, I mean, we've been a country largely ruled by the minority for the last generation.
Yeah.
So whether they're outnumbered may not matter.
May not matter.
If they seize, I mean, if like if you've got a majority in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
If you can gerrymander districts to seize the House more of the time than not.
Yeah.
Right.
Then
if you can suppress the vote, which they are doing
right.
in
you know
multiple
what?
States.
I hope I'm not wrong. I pray to God I'm not wrong. And I don't even believe in God. This has got to, it's got to end now. Like,
yeah.
This has got
this
to be
is it.
If we get the House and then we obviously get the White House, all these things have to be broken down. You know, it just, the gerrymandering, like, we're fighting back, at least now. People in the Democratic Party are so busy having their lives and, you know, caring about the things they care about and running on the treadmill that they haven't paid attention and drinking
Go
cappuccinos.
Boys.
Exactly. They haven't, didn't even know the word gerrymandering till 2 years ago and state elections and all of those things.
It all matters.
So Obama.
We're woke now.
Yeah.
Well, it's also telling for, like, politicos that you watch that obviously do this 24/7 that the areas that they're like, you know, Obama coming out for Stacey Abrams and going, you know, they're really targeting. Do you think that that's also because the Republicans, like you said, in power are trying to suppress vote? And I think as early as today now, Kemp came out and said that they're like trying to launch a lawsuit against the Democratic Party in Georgia for supposedly cyber crimes.
There was a hacking allegation.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, I mean, they're literally pulling things out of their hat that they can.
Yeah. It just shows you how terrified they
are. Yeah, because they know that if they were to go down this road, they're, like you said, an endangered species.
Yeah.
And so they're literally having to suppress the vote, continue to do gerrymandering, the Supreme Court, everything. Otherwise, it's like, why can't you just change and have better positions? And
why don't you have better ideas?
Exactly. Become a party
and why don't you
of
quit
ideas?
Ripping people off
yes.
and keeping all the money of the 1%.
And
because they
the
want
aisle.
Rich people to run the country.
Right.
But you know what? It's going to end.
It's such a masterstroke. I mean, if you just appreciate it from the political, you know, strip the costs and benefits out, strip the parties out.
Yeah.
To pass a tax reform bill that redistributes wealth to the, I don't know what the wealthy is,
their
1
friends.
Or tenth
Let's
of a percent or whatever
friends.
It is. Yeah. And then a year later, when the deficit grows $750 billion,
blame
say,
it
hey,
on.
Man, we got to cut Medicare and Social Security. All this stuff is just killing us.
Killing us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brilliant. It's working.
Yeah. You know what? When the government goes down, when we get into the next recession, probably Democrats will be in power. So then they can say, oh, well, it was great when we were in power. Right. Check out what happens when the Democrats
are in power. Bingo.
And no one will believe it.
Exactly, because people have short memory.
Well, we hope. But no, you just hit the nail on it. The one worry that I have is that Democrats take the House, and then Trump's re-election, anything going wrong for his last 2 years is all going to be the Democrats got back in power. The Democrats got back in power.
You know what? That only matters about who's listening. And, you know, the crazies will always be listening. They'll be supporting him till he's long in the grave. They'll be talking about him for the next 50 years.
The one truthful thing that
one will care.
The one truthful thing that he was right about, though, when he said, I could go to Park Avenue.
Yeah.
And shoot people, and I wouldn't lose votes.
He's right.
Well, you know, it was brilliant. Somebody actually made the observation. I guess it was on Twitter or whatever. Wasn't the building in which there was the Trump building in which there was a fire and a guy died along Fifth Avenue?
Yes.
The irony.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and, you know, he's got blood on his hands over Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, the bombers nearly killed half the Democratic Party. And not only will he not take responsibility, but none of those people will attribute that to his verbiage, which is the clear cause.
Yeah. Fox News, you wouldn't have known that bombing happened if you were watching Fox News.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, just my God. It was alarming. The day that I was watching the table with the five on the day, because I was curious, I was going to go, I got to see what they're saying. It was like barely, they were like talking, oh, this great sports moment. That were like, it's crazy. It's literally really crazy.
I always go to Fox News when something big has happened because I want to see if they're reporting.
Yes. And they won't.
No.
Tuesday night on Fox News is going to be a joy.
Oh, I'll bet.
Oh, my God.
Somebody's got to watch that.
That Hannity covered as part of that was basically that it could be like a conspiracy when they were kind of pushing like bomb stuff. Like
that it was the Democrats sending it to Democrats.
To Democrats.
Or themselves.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I digress.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so wait, I want to insert them back just before we move on to the next subject. The Obama versus Trump dueling rallies and stumping. What I really haven't been enjoying, I like this Obama even better than Obama.
He's loose.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, just because he's so unfiltered.
He's not loose.
He doesn't, but it's so clear now that he's going like directly at all of the attacks and all of like he held himself back as a politician. Yeah. I'm kind of like, he would have been, I think, even more liked by people if he had just been like this from all along. He was a little bit brought us to very...
Because he had to be.
He had to be.
I think he played it smart, actually.
He did.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I want them to run a little clip, though, here where you hear him like, really, like, this is what...
Because if they did, they'd be worrying about the current president. Talking on a cell phone while the Chinese are listening in.
Yeah.
They didn't care about it. They said it to get folks angry and ginned up. Now in 2018, they're telling you the existential threat to America is a bunch of poor refugees 1,000 miles away. They're even taking our brave troops away from their families for a political stunt at the border. And the men and women of our military deserve better than that.
Okay, let's come back in from that. So give us a little taste. That was at the Florida rally for Gillum. So the races, this is going to lead us in now to the transition. So the races that Ted Johnson at Variety did a really good breakdown of like sort of like the key races that Hollywood's watching. It's the Florida, Gillum versus DeSantis. Mm-hmm. It's the Stacey Abrams in Georgia. And then the Beto versus Cruz. So I just, Jordan, what's your like sort of quick thoughts? Those are kind of the ones that you kind of see the media really covering a lot more and Hollywood seems to be, you know, most invested.
And why... Maybe somebody else would have to tell me, like, why that is.
I think because Florida is considered, like, when it comes to presidential elections, like a bellwether in a lot of ways.
Sure.
Because they determine so much. And I do think that it has to do with a Democrat taking place. Because you know how the whole thing, Jane Fonda was on MSNBC talking about that measure that also Schwarzenegger's trying to help in Michigan, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. will put the districting back in like a third party's
yeah,
hands.
Independent. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
So I think it plays into even there. Because if they want to start moving across the country and putting that into place, like, you're going to need Democratic like governors to kind of help
like
that.
They're just putting their eggs where they're most likely to be.
Yeah.
Counted. The races are close.
Yeah.
In states that, I mean, for the longest time, Georgia always had, I think, Democratic governors, didn't it? And then it never had Democratic yeah. governors again.
When the parties switched, I think, before they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. There was a point at which it went, it was just they'd always had Democratic governors, and then never again. So the idea right. that they might have one and that there's a real problem, I guess, is it a problem? What are the reports?
I think that she's ahead a little bit.
She's they say it's statistical, but she is a little
like
ahead.
Like 2 points?
But
that's why you wheel in Oprah, is to, you know.
To put, oh,
yeah.
Yes. Oprah!
Interesting stat. Again, Oprah Winfrey, when she came out in 2008 mm-hmm. for Obama, they did, whoever does, like, the metrics and the studies, but it netted, like, it was a million votes into where she had gone to, that they sort of tallied up that she was able to sort of get for him.
Yep.
That's kind of
it's
like
the magic
so
touch.
She could really. Let's talk about Oprah for a second, because with that's a topic that we were going to, but let's just move to her right now. She, I thought her speech was impeccable in the sense that
even the Fox News people
yeah.
said so.
But it wasn't so partisan, even mm-hmm. though you know she's there stumping for a mm-hmm. Democrat. It was more about the reminder that you need to vote. Let's watch the clip, because I'm
yeah.
just like. I think that we're having a little sound. Can you hear it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Let's talk about what Oprah said.
Yes.
Alina.
How's your Oprah impersonation?
Yes.
Everybody gets a card. No. I watched the speech, and it like brought a tear to my eye, because everything that she said is exactly how I feel. I don't understand when people don't vote. There
yes.
are people who have died for you for this right.
Yeah.
There are people across the world who wish they had the rights that we have.
Exactly.
And when people sit home and they don't vote, it's like, what are you doing? Because once that right is taken away from you, it's really hard to get back.
Well, you
it's
see
not
these
impossible.
Convicted felons in Florida
exactly.
who are dying to vote, and it's just ripping
yeah.
them apart.
Yeah, her
you
point,
can't.
I think, one of the excerpts I remember hearing was that if you are of a lineage and your ancestry mm-hmm. were denied the right to vote outright, by not voting, you're basically shitting on your family.
Yes.
Or even if you're a woman. Women
right.
haven't had
sure.
the right to vote for,
100
you know,
years
exactly.
ago, they weren't allowed to
exactly.
vote.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think the Republican Party would prefer it
yes,
stayed that
would.
Way.
Yes.
You know, the races that Hollywood is watching, you know, what's Hollywood about? It's about drama. Those are the high
yeah.
drama races.
Yeah.
The ideologies of the two candidates couldn't be more different.
Exactly. But, okay, so, like, switching from Atlanta to the Beto O'Rourke, which I, from a standpoint of, like, I think he's, like, 4 points behind in the poll of polls most
mm-hmm.
recently. I think that's the better place to be, because Democrats, I think, last time when they thought Hillary had it
yeah.
in the bag, so it
go.
Was like those people, oh, I'm late for my hair appointment, oh, I got to get to yoga, oh, I'm probably not, oh,
it's
she's going to win anyway.
Yeah.
And I feel like people in Texas are going to be more motivated to go. So to me, I think that's going to be a nail biter. But all the money that he raised, again, Hollywood, that's a lot of money that came in from, I feel like California's like
yeah.
poured so much money into.
They win on that point too, though. You know,
yes.
Cruz
mm-hmm.
can go out there and say, look at all this out-of-state
money
coming in, influencing our election. You know? And there's a point to be made there.
Yeah.
I don't want people from other states influencing California.
It's legal.
California's
yeah.
politics.
It's legal.
Totally legal. You just don't want it.
Yeah, like, so you almost have an issue with them nationalizing local elections.
I don't know if I have an issue with it, but it's something that plays, and not for entirely illegitimate reasons.
Do you think then, okay, so pretend that Beto gives him a run and they come close, he doesn't win. Does that tarnish, because I see a lot of, like, talk of the 220 president, but if he loses, like, the Senate race, does that really make him, like, a viable national candidate? Because I see a lot of people, like, throwing his name,
what,
like...
Beto for 2020?
Not for president, but, like, on
Vice
the VP
president.
Ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it does, because he has you know, national recognition now, name recognition.
He's a Kennedy. Look at him. He's a rock star.
He is. He's like, I compare him to, like, he's like the white boy Obama, kind of, a little bit. You know, he's got that same charisma. He can light up a room. He knows how to speak. He's smart.
Yeah.
He's genuine.
Yep.
And I think that's why people are giving a lot of money to him, especially from outside states.
In fact, he's going to go far if he could. Yeah. Man, I don't know what's going to happen.
Speaking of Hollywood, Sarah Jessica Parker, Jimmy Kimmel, Rosie O'Donnell, I mean, they've all donated about $2,700, Chelsea Handler, Chris Rock. So, I mean, he's got the people with some pockets, you know.
Well, and all that money, is if he doesn't win, it doesn't go to waste. It builds for them a candidate for something, whatever it is to come.
Yeah.
You put money, he's a brand. They're putting money into funding a brand
so
that they can then point in a different direction if he loses on Tuesday.
A friend of mine went to England wearing a Beto t-shirt, and people stopped him everywhere.
Yeah.
Said, I love that guy.
He's got that appeal.
Fair to say, then, there is the Oprah effect. I mean, is that fair statement? Media loves to put, like, this effect of that. I would say yes.
I would say yes. And I think Stacey Oprah said that she just came out there uninvited. And, you know, hey, bring it on, Oprah. But, I think it'll definitely help.
Like an Oprah bump, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we're also, we should mention, too, because all of us are such, like, into politics that we're assuming every listener, but Stacey Abrams stands to make history.
Right.
As the first ever African-American governor of
a U.S. state.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not just, you know.
Brian Kemp is the absolute worst. He is crooked.
There should be and I don't know why there isn't. I don't know how state to state it works. That you could be the supervisor of the electoral process in your state and run for an office over which you're supervising.
It's like Chris Kobach in Kansas.
He's the Secretary of State for Georgia, and he is overseeing the election.
He gets to go in the ballot room and everything, like when they're counting.
And he gets to vote in suppression.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that's a legit question.
It's wrong. He should have stepped down from that position.
There's precedent for it elsewhere. It has happened elsewhere, but I don't know why. Why does that
should so be wrong. It's just wrong in every way.
So the other one that we should get to, the Marsha Blackburn versus Phil Bredesen in Tennessee. This is where Taylor Swift came out for the first time politically and backed Phil, which everyone assumed that she was like, like there was rumblings that she might be Republican. She's Tennessee, and she never talked about it. I think she's issue oriented. You know what I'm saying? And she's definitely pro women. But this race is tightened. I want him to win so we could call it the Swift effect.
Yes. Check this out. She actually Instagrammed a picture.
It's the ultimate troll of a
picture.
She's trolling Marsha Blackburn.
These two Tennessee women, I think she's there with her mom, voted for a candidate who has proven himself to be reasonable and trustworthy. We want leadership, not fear-based extremism. Early voting goes till Thursday, and election day is November 6th. Please don't sit this one out.
Wow.
Yes, Swift, yes.
Do you think that all along she is a Democrat, but she's no idiot that she knows a lot of Republicans by her records?
I think so.
Then she's even smarter than that. I'm actually such a fan now ever since she came out politically.
You know what? I have never heard one song. I don't know how you avoid it.
I'm a come late to the party on it.
But now I love her, no matter what she does.
Yeah, I love her too.
Unfortunately for New York Post headline, Swift also rhymes with whiffed. And whiffed. If her choice in the election does not go the way she...
There's a lot of good puns.
There are a lot of
potential
New York Post
headlines. I work for the New York Post, and I'm going to try to make sure that doesn't... I don't think it'll work, but...
Yeah. So, anyway, that tightened. So, that's another race. I think that... Okay, so here's what I want to ask as we were talking about Hollywood getting involved in it. Is it striking to any of you how little I feel though we hear about actual issues that affect Americans in all of this campaigning? Like, I haven't heard speeches, and maybe that's because they're not the televised speeches that cable news choose to put on, but about actual policy, healthcare. That I know that they're saying, oh, we want to give, but it feels like everything Trump's talking about is just like fear-based social, cultural issues. And then it's Oprah making a speech about voting rights. But what are the actual, like, to me, it's like, I can't, couldn't say, like, what's the issues that people, like...
I've heard a lot of Democrats talking about healthcare. A lot.
Yeah. I know that it's healthcare, but that's because I sort of feel like I know because I watch news regularly, but as a pure, like, citizen watching this, I would be like, what are the issues that are important? Because, like, I don't feel like issues are being...
See, I think they tried to do that for 2016, and that's where people felt they made the mistake, because here was Trump coming out in sound bites, and Hillary, like, you know, had her folders, and...
Good point.
Yeah, was, like, super smart about everything, but people didn't want to listen, because we live in this, like, reality TV world now where everything's so short.
And TLDR. What you said
about him reducing the message to, like, these tiny, repetitive... angry bites.
Jobs and, you know, security, and it's just that. And
so you think it's Trump that they have to sort of navigate campaigning against, because he pulls us in a direction of, like, if you elect Democrats, if you elect Democrats, it's a vote for letting criminals, illegal criminals into the country. If you vote for Republicans, this is literally like you're voting for protection for law-abiding citizens of
America. And not
America.
One word of it is true. In fact, it's basically the opposite.
Right.
Yeah. It's just that immigration doesn't play well, though, for Democrats. It's a hard one there.
So Democrats have to come up and figure out their immigration plan that isn't, we got to let everybody in, because wouldn't it be nice? But you're not going to win that way.
Yeah.
And it isn't really practical anymore.
I mean, I don't have a problem with open borders.
I don't either.
I don't.
That's me. But, I mean,
but
I don't know.
We're leftist socialists. Yeah. Go commies.
Okay.
I mean, the answer in every policy debate is somewhere in the middle.
Exactly.
The solution, rather. Because an open border, I mean, it's... If you really think about what that entails.
An open border policy that if people come in and they don't have to actually go through an immigration policy, but then they're coming in and they're actually can get, like, Social Security cards, and they're taxed on their job, and they're contributing to the economy, I don't have a problem
with
that.
You have to, now you're talking about, like, a nuanced policy, like a wonky, you go through this, and it's like, you know... You're going to bring in workers at this level of skill for only however many jobs there are in the country that they could even fill, and then now you've got a surplus if you just let everybody... I mean, you have to be calculated about it. You just can't do it on ethnicity.
In California, at least from my experience, that the work ethic among minorities... I feel like there's more white people and young white people are the ones that suck off the system.
Absolutely.
And you can see it in spades in California. You see it throughout, like, the recovery community with, like, people who get to, like, go to these IOPs and get insurances to pick up their bed for rent at these fancy houses. I mean, to me, it's like, it's not like... The minorities in California that are not wanting to work, they want jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to any Home Depot, and this is not even to sound, and see a
Absolutely.
Bunch of
right.
Workers standing there wanting work.
Oh, in many corners
where
in
it's
Hollywood,
like, it's
all
like
the time.
No offense, like the white people that you'll hear, like they're entitled, like, oh, why is unemployment not more money, or why am I getting this, or why can't it be this? There's always this entitlement factor when all they want to do is work.
Yep.
You remember the term that we heard prior, all the way up till the 2016 election, to take shots at the economy at the time? Underemployment. You remember this term?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that word in 2 years.
Yeah.
But it still has to be a factor in the economy. It's not like we got everybody who the whole point was that underemployment wasn't being factored when the employment rate was being calculated, and that those consisted of people who had just voluntarily taken themselves out of the process entirely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What are those people doing now?
That's
we're down to 3.5% unemployment, but we had 20% underemployment. So did we shore up that gap entirely?
Well, isn't there sort of like a point where it's like then they don't count, like if they've taken themselves out of it, then it's like they stop counting after a certain amount of time.
If you are not at, you know, it has to do with people who are filing for unemployment benefits and stuff like that. And so, if you're not actively seeking employment anymore, they don't count you in the unemployment rate. And so that was, Trump campaigned on that heavily. He's like, oh, this economy's bullshit. This is a smoke and mirrors.
The job numbers are fake.
Yeah, fake. They're calling the unemployment numbers at the time fake because it wasn't counting unemployment at the time, which the numbers now still don't.
Yeah.
And it's a gig economy. People in gig economy don't get unemployment.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. You don't qualify for it.
Yeah. What even brought up this train of thought? I'm sorry. I totally trailed off.
It wasn't Taylor Swift.
Cannabis?
Just throw it out there.
um, those, okay, so wrapping up then, the key races there. Is there anyone that I'm forgetting that, like, you felt like Hollywood's real invested in?
I feel like now people are invested in Heidi Heitkamp because of all that's going on with voter suppression as far as the Native Americans go.
But isn't it so far gone, like, she doesn't even, it's like, there's like a 10, yeah. isn't there like a 10-point gap the last time
I
looked?
I think her history... She's overcome odds like that towards the end of it. I think so.
Well, believe it or not, what's working against her is that she voted against Kavanaugh.
I know, it's incredible.
I saw like some of the debate footage with her opponent, you know, Josh Hawley, and it was like, you know, that he was handpicked by like the Trump people to like run because he had another position, and it was like they are strategic.
They're very strategic. Yeah. But meanwhile, Manchin, who voted for Kavanaugh,
right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want him to win, but we can't afford to lose a seat.
Yes.
So people are holding their nose and voting for him. They do for Trump.
Probably like Menendez in Jersey, too.
Yeah.
Because after all the scandals. But depending on who you ask, because I was born in New Jersey, and you'll hear two sides that he has done well for the states, meaning like he's done good work for people in New Jersey. And then there's this whole other aspect of like, the scandal.
He's done well for himself.
Yes.
Is there anybody in Jersey who isn't crooked? I grew up there too.
Oh, well, I mean, I'll plead the fifth. Yeah. Look at me.
I mean, Tony Soprano.
You're actually not there anymore.
I've spent more time outside of Jersey now, so I'm a Californian.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. Okay, so wrapping up those races that Hollywood's on the edge of their seat about, can't you see us?
We are, actually.
I want to just move on really quickly to some bold predictions from you. Just anything that you expect or, you know, tell me. I want to hear.
Ooh, go ahead, Alina. Okay. You start. I think the Democrats will take the House.
Okay.
Obviously. I mean, the Senate's going to be really close. I think... I actually think Beto's going to pull it off, I think.
I do, too.
That was going to be my... prediction.
I think
also.
He is.
Okay.
I just can't imagine a world in which a guy that dynamic, and I'm not, I'm independent. I'm not, you know, I'm not partisan, but a guy that
journalists
dynamic.
Don't talk about their affiliation because we can't tell ever on any news channel what that affiliation is. Let's pretend like we don't have it. No, go ahead.
But a guy that dynamic versus a guy who's just such like
he's a vampire.
He's the
slimy.
Guy who smelled like pee in elementary school. I mean,
wait, is this about Ted Cruz?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you know,
Texas. You know, Texas knows better.
Oh my God.
They do.
I just think about the lying Ted thing when like all of the stuff and just you really got a big dose of this guy when he was on the national stage for that primary. And you got to just really think, it comes down to, I think, a Texas voter going, does my, like, loathing for Ted Cruz outweigh my loathing for, say, minorities, gays marrying? Right. And like that's what their moral dilemma
is. But they do say that Texas is getting a little bluer.
It is. And hopefully with,
Dallas has a little bit of, and then like Austin. But but it's not enough to overcome.
Houston.
I think people in the border regions are going to come out in full force.
You think so?
I mean, this is not, it's not like it's a House seat where they could gerrymander the district such that they could manipulate the vote. This is a statewide race. And it counts as much in Austin as it does in Texarkana. So
I heard a great NPR report today, which had these group of Texas women. They're all like housewives who meet privately. They're Democrats. They're trying to get out the vote. They're doing all this stuff, and they don't tell anybody. It's a secret society.
I love that. It's like the way Oprah does like all this stuff overseas and in other countries that she doesn't like want press at. She's just helping people.
These women will be lynched if anybody knows about this stuff.
Did you see, okay, now that you just brought that about a group of women, did you guys happen to see the report on CNN with the Jersey, there was like Jersey broads that they had, like the book club of all the broads, and Allison Camerota from New Day. Well, okay, so there's like 8 of them, and they, in their
the
book
Real
club.
Real Housewives of New
totally,
Jersey.
Totally, and never, the hair, it was like so Jersey, you know, like it was like, they were basically in a book club forever, all these women, and they found them somehow, I don't know, and they never talked politics ever. They refused to.
Yeah, I did see that.
Oh, so wait, then I did see that. She yeah. was yes. put,
and now it's all out on the table.
And now, like, they know each other's political yeah. views, and it's going to hell.
Yes. I'll bet. That book club will last, like, one more month, but it's like, they were Jersey Democrats. It was like, I felt like I was sitting in a Jersey diner, because I grew up there, of, like, the opinions. It's like, all the justification that they have for Trump, like, on the Republican side of this is just, you know, I know that he, like, maybe molested, like, you know, women and, like, sexually abused them, but Bill Clinton did it in the right, Oval Office. About, yeah. What's yeah. the difference? It's like, right. and by the way, it was consenting, but that's another conversation. It's like, Monica Lewinsky consented to all of that. That was not, just for the record. Anyway.
Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah. Okay, exactly. More predictions.
Well, I just think, I do believe the Democrats are going to take the House. I don't know if it'll be, you know, a slaughter. How beautiful would that be? And even though I do think Beto or Stacey or Gillum, I think some of these people are going to pull it off. Even though we may still not take the Senate,
yes.
yeah.
I do think there's going to be a lot of surprises. However, my biggest curiosity is how Trump is going to spin it.
I don't. I think
very he, true.
That'd be a fun Wednesday.
Yeah,
I'm hoping he doesn't say, "Oh, it was rigged." And Russians,
it was what?
It was rigged, and the Russians are in charge of this. Because he's very. I don't know. The Russians are a little bit too quiet right now.
Yeah,
I feel.
I agree with them.
You know.
Yeah, we haven't heard
I
about
don't
that.
Know.
It would be
I
an interesting know. Turn of events if he were to finally embrace Russian collusion
right?
and hacking
but
or whatever.
He's that
because
crazy.
Because yeah. it didn't go his way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or the Chinese.
The Chinese.
It'd be the Trumpiest
exactly.
reaction ever.
Exactly.
Yeah. The Chinese rigged the election.
Speaking of that, really quickly then, did you see the Michael Cohen, his former attorney, in the Vanity Fair
yeah.
article? Okay, so again, that was just... I think Michael Cohen was attempting to help Democrats mm-hmm. with those... He helps Trump's base like,
right.
with those, like saying, oh, he really is racist. Oh, he, great.
We
so
all knew.
He really confirms.
Yeah.
I was on the fence because of this, but you know what? He really is.
But you know yeah. what? How many, and you brought this up before, how many people really are undecided at this point who could swing?
I mean, I don't
know.
Are independents
many.
Actually independent? Like, I mean, I don't know. Do they
I don't know anybody.
Way, like,
well, I mean, by virtue of the fact that there is a sizable electorate out there that voted both for Obama
yes.
and Trump suggests that people can swing. And those were and,
yes.
like, and then the overlap, then the Venn diagram with Bernie supporters and
yes.
Trump supporters. And
yeah, it's true.
You know, it almost seems like what takes the presidency in this country is dynamism over
right.
You know,
without
policy.
Question.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Hillary, you know, she's not dynamic. Al Gore was not dynamic. John Kerry was not dynamic. None of them were.
It's been pointed out to me that if you want to know who's going to win, this is O'Rourke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go where the energy is.
Yes.
In the election.
Yes.
Okay.
And the energy, I mean, but you have to strip away the coverage you've been watching because that's going to be disproportionate depending on your own political leanings. You're going to watch.
Yes.
You know,
yes. Right.
Yeah. So just look at where. Objectively, the energy isn't because it definitely was with Trump in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was with Bernie, too. And that's why if those two had faced off, who knows quite how that would have played out.
I think Bernie would have beat him.
No idea.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Again,
I don't know
it's who has the dynamism.
Right,
yeah,
the energy.
Yeah.
And you mean energy on the ground, in the places.
Who has stirred the most?
Passion,
yeah.
excitement.
Yeah.
Somebody who can, look at Obama, command a stage
yeah.
and
yeah.
be like, oh my God, look at this person.
Be inspirational.
Yeah. My prediction
yeah.
is that if it becomes a split government, that Trump could actually have a chance at becoming a better president. Because he will be forced to compromise.
I think nothing's going to happen.
When
does
that dude ever compromise?
It's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. He's never. Nothing will happen.
No.
But you know what? Nothing is
it's,
a lot
yeah.
better than the something we have
I
now.
I said better present. Let me rephrase that. That if
less
you give
worse.
Him a chance to, yes, a less worse president. That's better. Alina, can you please tell our lovely listeners and viewers
absolutely.
Where they can find us?
So you guys can find us on the AfterBuzz YouTube page. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts. Be sure to rate and subscribe and like us. Also, you can follow us on, hold on, I'm pulling it up here because... Twitter. Misa. Twitter's someone, the one that always sends me up.
Some random is our handle. I still haven't rustled it away.
I'm going to write to them just so that I can do this more smoothly. Okay, yes. On Twitter, you can meet us at MeetTheHWDPress. And on Instagram, it's MeetTheHollywoodPress.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Merle, Jordan, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
This has been so much fun.
Let's have a good one.
Let's have a good one.
Everyone,
remember,
go out to vote.
Vote, 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 vote. Okay, thanks for watching. See you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.